Thank you, Howard. My back is getting better, and I appreciate all the prayers. It's just a time thing where it's going to take a little bit more time. Well, I had a sermonette that I've been working on, thinking about for a few months now, and I prayed about it, and I did a little U-turn and picked another topic. How many of you have feast fever? Raise your hand. Oh, come on, more than that. Put your hand up. Come on. We should all have feast fever, and we have feast trials also. So I'm going to ask a question. How many people in here are going to be attending the Feast of Tabernacles for the first time ever? Wow, congratulations. It's going to blow your mind. Just God's spirit and the fellowship is just incredible. How many people in here have experienced at least 10 feasts? Okay, number's going to start going down now. How about 40? 40. Okay. How about 50? Wow. Okay, I saw you over there, Homer. Okay, 60. Oh, my. She's only 3 years old. 65. No way. Wow. You win the prize. 100. Got you on that one. So, I grew up in the feast when we were teenagers. I mean, grew up in the church back in Worldwide Church of God back in Long Beach. And I always knew I was going to be a Christian, but I was going to go out and get my fun. And boy, did I get my fun. But I came back battered and bruised, I'll tell you. But what was interesting, when I started attending again in Long Beach, I would see everyone get all pumped up about the feast. They had this feast fever thing going on, and I'd heard about it for years and years. And I actually, the first day, I got in my car. I lived in Lakewood at the time. Drove all the way up to Pasadena, got out of my car, walked up to where the feast was being held on campus up there in Pasadena at Ambassador College. Got out, saw the sign. It said Feast of Tabernacles. I didn't go in. I got in my car and drove back home. But that was my first feast. I don't know why I didn't go in, but I don't know. But anyhow, that was my first feast. I guess you could call that a feast. Anyhow, what I'm going to be speaking about today are the 5 P's of going to the feast. The 5 P's, the letter P, like Paul, going to the feast. First thing we need to do in preparing to go to the feast is we all need to pray. We need to pray that God's will be done. And Carmen and I had been praying, and we're actually planning on attending Branson, Missouri, and we have a lot of the Tulsa brethren. When we were in Tulsa, they were going to meet us up there because that's their home church. And with things going on with my back and things, we had to make a change of plans. So we're going to Temecula. So evidently that's where God wants us, and that's where we're going to be. And we're going to have feast fever in Temecula. So let's go ahead for the first scripture with praying. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, and we know this, we're supposed to be constantly praying every day, all day. You know, David prayed 3 times a day. That we know of. I think those were just basic prayers that he did, but I think he probably prayed throughout the day a lot more. He was at one with God probably most of the time. Number 2, the second P, we need to plan and prepare for the feast. We need to plan our logistics. We need to plan and prepare like Carmen and I did for, you know, changes that may arise. And I pulled this up on, I don't like using AI. I use it in my business a lot, in the music business, the AI for music marketing and things. But for doing Bible study and doing sermonettes, I mean, I'll use it a little bit. But I did an AI thing, Google AI on this. And so this is from the Google AI. And I thought this was pretty interesting. The Bible presents a balanced view of planning. It encourages diligent human planning while emphasizing dependence on God's wisdom and sovereignty. It's always putting God first, no matter what our state. Key biblical principles for planning include committing plans to the Lord, seeking His guidance and wisdom, and remaining flexible by acknowledging that His purpose ultimately prevails. And I think that really applies to Carmen and I. I mean, we're going to be meeting new people at the feast. There's going to be over 600 people in Temecula, which is going to be just wonderful. And every time we go, and I'm sure all of you do too, we try and find that one person that seems like they're alone. Maybe they don't have any family, and we just zone in on them and invite them to dinner and fellowship with them and bring them into the fold, so to speak. The Bible does warn against arrogant, self-sufficient planning and promotes humility and alignment with God's will. In the past, and we've all been guilty of this, I've been guilty of it, we all have. We go down to, let's say, Carlsbad or Oceanside, and, you know, let's hurry up and get out of services. It's 11 o'clock. Do we have time to get to the zoo? Yeah, we can do it. You know, it's all this extracurricular stuff when we're actually supposed to be focusing on God the whole time. When we have the right focus and our stewardship is right, and another thing in this AI thing here, planning helps in the wise use of resources, time, and talents. The goal achievement, diligent planning is linked to achieving goals and experiencing success. And here's, it even has blessings to others. By planning effectively, believers can better serve and be a blessing to others. And that's really what it's about. It's about learning more about God's way in all of these seven feasts. But also it's about getting closer to God and closer to the brethren. Number three, the third P, is we need to prioritize. Just because we're at the feast, it's not a vacation. This is time that we're spending with God. We need to learn. It doesn't matter if we've spent 60 years, 65, or 1 year. We need to gain something from the feast. We need to learn and use whatever we take in and learn in our everyday life. So the number three, prioritize. Prioritize our time through prayer, Bible study. Put God first in all things. Let's go ahead and turn to the second scripture, to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The fourth P, probably one of the most important, is praise. Praising God, and remember that the Feast of Tabernacles are God's feast. These aren't our feasts, these are not our vacations. These are God's feasts. These are His commands for His people. Come out of this world, attend the feast. And in Leviticus 23:4, I'll just read it here off my notes here. Leviticus 23:4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. And then Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And then finally, the fifth P is profit. What can we profit from the feast, attending the Feast of Tabernacles in the last great day? What have we learned? We know that all seven feasts point us to Christ. And I was thinking about this as far as I think this could apply. The parable of the talents. We all go to the feast with certain talents, with certain gifts and things and that God gives us. And when we come back from the feast, how have we used those talents? Have we just not done anything and just came home with the same amount of talents as we had before? Or are we multiplying our talents? What have we profited from going to the feast? So again, the five P's: pray, plan and prepare, prioritize, praise God, and profit. Everyone have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles.